From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're talking about what you call Mormons. Should you or should we still refer to members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints as Mormons? As you've heard by now, the church's president, Russell Nelson, has said God wants people to use the proper name. It isn't the Mormon Church. Members aren't Mormons. It isn't Mormonism. So we're talking about the history of these names, the new church directive, and what we're all supposed to do about it in just a moment.
KUER is a family, so let's stay in touch. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and we'll keep you in the know about breaking news happening in Utah. We'll invite you to films and parties, and you'll even see funny pictures of us sometimes. Best of all, we'll get to hear from you. Tell us what you care about in your community, and get to know your fellow public radio nerds. Follow KUER on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Let me get something out of the way here. Even in writing this introduction, I realized just how difficult it would be to adjust to the new directives of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints about how to use the name of the faith. You've probably heard by now, earlier this month, the church announced it was updating its style guide. It came along with a statement from the new LDS president, Russell Nelson, saying that he had received divine inspiration that people inside and outside the church were using the wrong names. Mormons and Mormonism and Mormon Church were inaccurate and should no longer be used. The style guide said, use the full name of the church at first, and then after you can say the Church of Jesus Christ or the Restored Church of Jesus Christ or just the church, but no more Mormon, not even LDS. Today in the program, we're talking about all of this, the importance of a name, the reason this church is trying to, again, get people to stop using a nickname. But what if you're a faithful member of this church and you like the nickname? You've embraced it. It's part of your identity, and it just makes it easy to identify yourself to others. Or what if you're a news organization interested in clarity and impartiality? Should you forego the word Mormonism in your reporting from now on and instead say, you know, Restored Church of Jesus Christ? Shouldn't we let organizations choose how they want to be identified just out of respect and common courtesy? Now, I should mention that this is where we've come down here at KUER. We, of course, want to be respectful to the ideas expressed in the statement from President Nelson, and we do intend to be mindful of that. But in that interest of clarity and impartiality, also consistency and economy, we are going to stay with our current style guide in relation to this church, which is, wherever possible, we'll use the full name on first reference. But you will still hear the terms LDS and Mormon and Mormonism in conversations and stories about this particular church. So, joining us first on the program is Patrick Mason. He's an historian and the Howard W. Hunter Chair of Mormon Studies at Claremont Graduate University in California. His latest book is called What is Mormonism? A Student's Introduction. Patrick's joining us from the studio there at Claremont. And Professor Mason, welcome back. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Doug. Great to be here.
Well, just saying your title and saying where you are, doesn't that sort of underscore the problem with all of this? There's a lot of the word Mormon in all this stuff.
There is. I mean, a lot of people have asked me whether I'm going to change my business cards.
Yeah.
And? You're right. I'm part of a Mormon studies program.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask you if you are, in fact, as we go along. I want to begin with just a name, the idea of this name, Mormon Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Why is a name so important, do you think, for Mormons?
Well, I mean, of course, a name is important for everybody. I mean, this is not just a Mormon thing. I mean, companies spend a lot of money trying to think of branding and identity that they have. And of course, it means a lot, not just for your own self-reference and what people call you, but there's a lot that gets carried into a name, a lot of meaning, especially over time, a lot of things that get packed into that name. Mm-hmm. And so this is just the way that language works, is that we use words as signifiers to carry a lot more meaning than just what the name itself connotes.
Did it matter to Joseph Smith in particular? I mean, here he was emerging out of the tumult of religion in the 1830s, trying to distinguish himself, trying to draw people to this new, these new innovative ideas about faith. Did the name matter to him?
It did matter to him, and it mattered to him very early on. In fact, in the Book of Mormon itself, and we can come back to that, this is part of the challenge for the religion, is that its kind of signature scripture is called the Book of Mormon. But within that book, no less an authority than Jesus himself comments on the name of the church and says the church should be named after him because it's not Moses' church, it's not Nephi's church, it's not Joseph Smith's church, it's it's according to the church, it's Jesus's church. And so the very earliest members of the church, they knew themselves as the Church of Christ. And the name sort of evolved over a few years, and they tried out different things. But then in 1838, so 8 years after the church gets formally organized, Joseph Smith receives a revelation in which God says the name of my church should be the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and that's been the case ever since.
Yeah. I want to come back to that because it seems like this is what President Nelson is doing here, which may be distinctive or different from other attempts in the past by the church to – it seems different, this one. And I guess I wanted to ask you, does this seem different to you and significant? I mean, the wording seems stronger than anything we've seen in the past of the statement, the things that aren't – or they don't want you to use. I mean, does this seem different to you?
I think you're right. I think it is different. The fact that he couched it in the language of revelation or inspiration that he received. Of course, President Nelson has spoken about this before when he was an apostle. But now that he's in the office of being the president of the church, he, according to church theology and ecclesiology, he has the right and the prerogative to receive revelation for the entire church. And so whereas previous presidents of the church and apostles had expressed a preference to use the full name of the church as a matter of opinion or kind of strong feeling even. None of them had really used the same kind of language that President Nelson has here in saying that this came by revelation and that God himself seems to care about this.
So do you think that – I guess the question is what is this about as far as you can tell? It seems for President Nelson this is more than just branding. The Salt Lake Tribune's podcast, Mormonland, Richard Bushman, the historian, was there, and he said he didn't think it was a branding exercise for Nelson, that this is a kind of, I think he described it as a scriptural compulsion, that the name matters to the scriptural and doctrinal lives of Latter-day Saints, and Nelson wasn't at all that interested in the branding part of it. What do you think about that?
I think that's probably right. There's a hymn that Mormons sing that says, "Do what is right, let the consequence follow." And I think what we see in this statement from President Nelson is a feeling that this is what God wants for the church, that God had revealed the name of the church and he's serious about it, and he wants the church to be serious about it. And I think it's pretty clear from President Nelson's statement and then from the resultant style guide that they haven't worked out all the consequences of that. They haven't worked out all the details of how this is actually going to work or recognizing that the name of the church is very long. But I think President Nelson is, he feels the compulsion, the compunction to speak the word that the Lord puts into his mind and in his heart, and then people will figure out the rest. And that's how it feels to me. I mean, this is him resting upon a feeling of revelation and going back to the word of the Lord, both in scripture and then in his own mind and heart.
So in that sense, do you think this says something about the leadership priorities and the potential, the possible ministry of President Nelson, that this idea of revelation is important to him? I mean, one of the things that he said in that statement, it wasn't very long, but he said, we have work before us to bring ourselves in harmony with
right.
God's will about this name business.
I think President Nelson takes very seriously the distinctive Mormon claim that God continues to speak to the world to every person. I mean, that's part of the Mormon claim, that every person can receive revelation from God, but specifically that the prophet, the president of the church, is entitled to receive the revelation from God for the church and for the world. And we've seen this. President Nelson seems more comfortable and even insistent on using this kind of language of revelation and inhabiting that role of being a revelator, whereas his predecessors would not often invoke that kind of strong language, that this is coming from God, a kind of thus saith the Lord. You know, President Hinckley and President Montz and his predecessors were somewhat more folksy. They could be direct, to be sure, but they and they certainly inhabited the role of prophet, seer, revelator. But President Nelson seems more direct and insistent upon that than even his immediate predecessors were.
Let's take a call from Robin, who's with us in Salt Lake. Robin, welcome.
Hi. I grew up a Mormon, and I'm still a Mormon, and I don't take offense to being referred to as a Mormon. I don't think a person who chooses the title of a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is any more spiritual than someone who calls himself a Mormon. I think it's all semantics, maybe, and hopefully it won't be a divisive concept with members and non-members.
Well, that's a big question. Patrick Mason, so far as you can tell, what are you hearing from members of the faith, faithful members of the faith who are trying to parse out what this means? It must be confusing for some in some ways.
I think it is, and I actually think Robin's question and concern is a real one. It's one that I share, and I share her hope that it doesn't become a divisive issue, because you could see this possibly playing out in a way that it could become a kind of litmus test of orthodoxy, of people who will kind of salute and who will say, this is what the prophet has said, this is what God has said, and so we have to follow it, even if it's inconvenient or uncomfortable, or we sort of stumble over our words. And others will say, well, yeah, but, you know, it's not convenient, or we don't have a better way to refer to ourselves, so we'll continue as we have. And you could see developing within the church and within the culture a kind of division here between those who are really upright in following the prophet and those who, you know, take it with a bit of a grain of salt. And I certainly hope that doesn't happen within the church, because I've talked to a lot of people who just they recognize that the statement comes from the prophet. They recognize that he feels strongly. They recognize the scriptural injunction here, but they also just live day to day with their neighbors, with their friends, with their colleagues, and it's just very hard to change your vocabulary overnight.
Robin, glad you called. Thanks. This from our Facebook page from Monica, who writes, as a minister, I try very hard to show respect for adherents of faiths other than my own and take off my shoes before treading on someone else's holy ground. However, she writes, I have a very high bar for what constitutes a saint. I will take my cue from my friends who are of this religion and refer to them as they wish rather than defer to their authorities. It seems mostly they don't mind being called LDS or Mormons. Back to the phones. Mary with us in Provo. Mary, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead.
So I've taught at BYU and taught freshman English mostly, and we talked a lot about politically correct language. And I've noticed that Mormons resist political correctness, and they take umbrage with someone telling them what to call a certain group. And I think it's interesting that now, with this anti-political correctness sort of idea, we're having to rely upon the graces of everyone else to call us what we'd like to be called. And I wonder how that's going to play out.
Patrick Mason, you're in the academic field. Do you have a reaction to that comment?
I think it's a great point. I think she points out a bit of an irony here. You know, as we mentioned at the outset, I find myself in the field of Mormon studies. that is how the field has been defined by my fellow historians and scholars of religion. There's a long and vaunted tradition of Mormon history. And in fact, I was just president of the Mormon History Association. Mm-hmm. And I don't expect any of that is going to change anytime soon, and I expect not at all. I cannot imagine a secular university or organization going along with this preferred usage and saying that they are going to get into the business of the restored Church of Jesus Christ studies, because there's theological freight that those usages carry with them. And while it's entirely appropriate within the church to refer to it as the church or the Church of Jesus Christ or the restored Church of Jesus Christ, outside the faith, that's asking people who don't share those theological claims and values to accept the church's own claims about itself. And that's a heavy lift.
Hmm. Mary, thanks very much for the call. Back to the phones. Will is joining us in Eagle Mountain. Will, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
I kind of just had two thoughts. As a member of the Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints, it's definitely a mouthful to get used to saying that.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, it's definitely not a convenient thing. I mean, I remember a handful of years ago when the campaign saying I'm a Mormon came out and everybody got behind it and it was kind of this big hit across social media. I really liked that, and it was something that I could identify with. But when it comes down to, you know, if I really believe that the prophet receives inspiration and this is what's best for us, whether it's inconvenient or not, I feel like it's just the best thing to do to follow suit. There's a lot of things that we consider to be commandments that aren't convenient in any way, and you just do it if you believe it's right. And even if it seems trivial, that's just a matter of, I think, you know, your perception on what it means to follow.
So what happens, Will, and I'm guessing you'll give your fellow ward members a pass for a little while, but what happens in a year or two and you keep hearing the word Mormon in Sunday school class or priesthood,
you know,
meeting? What do you do?
I don't know, and I've actually been thinking about that as well. I don't know. I don't find myself being somebody that's going to sit there and correct somebody else, because I don't do that with other things either. Hmm. You know, like, there's other things that we're asked to do, and if I see somebody else doing it, it's not my job to call them and correct them. And I think I'll follow the same suit here. Like, if the person giving a lesson says Mormon 20 times, I'll just roll with it. For me, it's more of a, I think whoever was speaking before, saying that, you know, even though people outside of the church, it may be a lot to ask them to do this, because it, to some extent, does ask them to align the fact that this is the restored Church of Christ. If we as members of the church do this and recognize what the church is in our beliefs, it at least portrays that message to the outside. So even if they don't believe that this is the truly restored Church of Jesus Christ, at least they know we do. And for me, that's the biggest lesson in it all, is at least we clarify what we believe.
Hmm.
One of the biggest confusions that I've dealt with as I talk to people who aren't members is the relationship to the Book of Mormon, who Mormon was, who Joseph Smith was. And for me, that's the only reason why God has given the revelation to name his church as such, is so that when I state I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, it's a mouthful, but man, you do get a lot of meaning behind that.
Hmm. Nope. Not sure what happened there. Lost him. Got the point, though. Patrick Mason, you're still with us?
Yes,
okay.
I am.
I guess one of the questions that Will raises is, of course, how this, I get it, how it works inside the church. That's still going to be confusing for some, and it might be even divisive at times. But how does this work outside the church? What is the expectation, do you think, of the church from... We'll be talking about this a little bit later on the program, how journalists are supposed to take this on, but in your case, academics and other outsiders, just observers who aren't of the faith.
Yeah, well, I think a couple of things. I mean, first of all, I think one of the jobs of academics and certainly journalists is to take the specialized knowledge that they acquire through research and then make it intelligible to broader publics. And I certainly feel like that's part of my job as a scholar of Mormonism, is to do deep research in the tradition and then to make it intelligible to my fellow scholars. So they have to know what I'm talking about, people who are not specialists and don't know everything I know, but I have to make my research intelligible to them. But then also to broader publics on radio shows like this or in lots of different ways when I give talks and so forth. And so I think this is a matter of intelligibility, and Mormonism, for better or for worse, and whether the church likes it or not, has over the past 200 years picked up a lot of meaning. And let's, you know, we should be clear, as some of the callers have mentioned, the church has invested a lot of resources just in the very recent past in making the word Mormon intelligible in positive ways to the general public. And I think it's been very successful in doing that. And so in a lot of ways, the kind of work that I do, the kind of work that journalists do, is picking up on that kind of level of intelligibility, that people know what you mean when you say Mormon. And of course, then you can inform them, you can correct misunderstandings. But that's sort of where we started. That's the way that language works.
You know, I'm detecting a theme in some of the comments. Two calls, and I'll get to at least one of them here in a moment, have expressed a similar sentiment as Jen, who wrote on Facebook, "I have a hard time wrapping my head around the idea that their God," I suppose she means the LDS Church's God, "supposedly is so concerned about this that so much time, energy, and money is being spent on rectifying this when there are real needs, real issues, and any just and kind God would rather their followers focus on other things." She says it's just baffling. Let's get, I think, a similar comment from Jordan, who's with us in Salt Lake. Jordan, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I agree, going to this theme of revelation, given all of the things happening on the planet, whether it's climate change, environmental degradation, racial inequality, inequality from a class mobility perspective, a growing population, you know, billions going hungry every night. So rare does the church feel that revelation is coming through, and here's this moment, and God opens the skies, and it kind of feels anticlimactic.
Are you a Latter-day Saint?
I was raised a member, so I'm very familiar with the weight that revelation has when it comes, although I'm currently not a member of the church.
So you're just bothered with all the things to worry about. Why worry about a name?
Yeah, and I wouldn't even say bothered, but I put myself in the shoes of an active Latter-day Saint, and there's so much anticipation for helpful and productive guidance for how to navigate this very complex world. I would find myself going, of all the things to worry about, here it comes, the beam of light has descended on Earth, and what's the message? A rebranding campaign, you know, to maybe... And now we're all stressing about what Google SEO search results look like. It feels like there's a disconnect.
Yeah. Patrick Mason, what about that? Because, again, I'm seeing a lot of that sentiment expressed, that there's a lot to worry about. There's suicide rate going up, and there's climate change, and there's poverty and need, and the LDS Church is worried about a name. And not to be dismissive of the idea, but that is what I'm hearing. And what do you make of that?
Sure. Well, I let me try to kind of put myself in the shoes of maybe somebody in church headquarters. And I don't want to in any way try to put myself into the mind of President Nelson or what happened there. But let me try to put myself in their head. So first of all, I think they might say, you know, look, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can do multiple things. And so we can work on the kind of name that we want to work on, as well as addressing the many problems in the world. And let's not forget that the LDS Church does do a lot of good in the world. The second thing, again, if we're going to, I think, give a generous reading to this, it could be, the argument could go something like this. By emphasizing the proper name of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, it reminds members of the church and those outside that this really is the Church of Jesus Christ, and that that members of the church should do the kinds of things that Jesus would want them to do, which would include addressing racial inequality and poverty and violence and all these kinds of things. And so again, branding and identity matters not just for the outside but for the inside. And if members of the church recognize and there's a kind of insistence that they are Christians, then perhaps that helps them think in a different way about the world that they live in and the responsibilities they have towards it. Now, that's a generous reading, and I fully acknowledge the kind of more skeptical readings that people have, but I think there might be something to that in terms of what a name inspires people to do on the inside.
We're essentially out of time here, but quick final question. Isn't this too late? The Mormon nickname thing has been around for a long time. Isn't it too late to really change it, honestly?
Oh, history is long. I mean, if the church really sticks with this, who knows, you know, what could happen over the course of decades. It's not going to have an immediate change, certainly not on the outside. But maybe over time, if the church really pushes this, it could move the needle, you know, over the space of years and decades.
Patrick Mason, glad you joined us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug.
Patrick Mason chairs the Mormon Studies program at Claremont Graduate University. He joined us from the studio there at Claremont. We need to take a break, but we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER.
Do you have an old station wagon full of memories and a busted transmission? Yeah, join the club. Give that car, or any car, a new lease on life by donating it to KUER. We'll have it picked up for you, so really it couldn't be easier. Then we split the proceeds with our car donation partner, and the money goes straight into the programming you love to listen to in the car. It's a regular public radio circle of life. Look under the support tab at KUER.org to learn more about car donation.
This is Radio West and Doug Fabrizio. Well, as you probably heard by now, the president of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Russell M. Nelson, has said that the Lord wants people to use the proper name of the church, and that is not the Mormon Church, and members are not Mormons, and it's not Mormonism. So today in the program, we're talking about the importance of these names, this new church directive, and what we're all supposed to do about that. And by us, I mean journalists in particular. Joining us now on the program, Peggy Fletcher Stack is with us. She is has been the religion reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune for 27 years. Is that right?
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. Also co-hosts their podcast, Mormon Land, which explores LDS issues in the news. Welcome to you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Lee Hale back with us. He's KUER's religion reporter. He's joining us too in the studio. Welcome.
Hey, Doug.
And joining us also is Matthew LaPlante, an associate professor of journalism at Utah State University. He's been writing about this naming debate. He wrote an opinion piece for the Logan Herald Journal. We'll talk a little bit about that. He's joining us from the studios of Utah Public Radio in Logan. Matthew LaPlante, welcome to you.
Hi, everybody.
So I guess I want to begin with this question just observationally. Lee Hale, to you first, I guess. Does this seem different? I mean, there was an attempt in the past. I think there have been a couple of runs at this name question. Is this new?
I think I would call in the past, it felt like suggestions. Like, you know, we should look for opportunities to not say Mormon and to say the church's full name. This felt like, because of the idea that this is revelation, that God was speaking this to President Nelson, for the church to adhere to, and then to go as far as to make a new style guide, that feels a lot more, that goes a lot further than suggestion. And so in that way, I think that's why you feel that there's been this response to it. I mean, both people who say, well, this is another way to show God that we're adherent, and other people who say this feels exclusive at a time when we're praying for inclusivity.
What do you think, Peggy? You think that's right? Does this seem significantly different in some ways?
It does seem different, but I will say in the past, the effort was not just a suggestion. I got plenty of hate mail from people saying, why do you keep using Mormon? Why do you hate the Mormons? Why aren't you following the church's suggestion? So there was definitely a push and a sense. Maybe it wasn't revelatory, but it was certainly a sense that was for a period of time, the church's preferred style.
Yeah.
But this does, it ups the ante a little bit.
It seems like it. I mean, the style guide seems very particular and saying, you know, an LDS now is not supposed to be used.
Right.
That seems like a big deal because that was cool in the past.
It was the preferred term, but in the past, when I wrote about this, you know, 20 years ago, I said then the problem with LDS, A, no one knows those letters, and B, those are not the initials in other languages. Mormon is a unique word, same in every language. LDS, no.
Well, and I should say, when Peggy and I are writing, we're thinking beyond the Wasatch Front. Right, we'd like to believe that our Mormon reporting has relevance outside of Utah, and so there's some certain terms we can say Latter-day Saint, LDS, Mormon. You can say all these things, and people. You can even say the Church on the Wasatch Front. And people get what you're saying, but once you leave Utah, you're out of luck.
Matthew LaPlante, how are you thinking about this? And we'll get to the question of whether journalists should or should not respect and you go by the Church's style guide, but just your broad impression of this.
Oh, my broad impression is that it is clunky. I don't think it was well thought out. It wasn't well planned. And there's a lot of people struggling to figure out what to do with this right now. But as you say, I think we'll get to the question of whether or not any of that really matters in terms of what non-Mormons should do to respond to it.
Well, in fact, you wrote that it was so poorly planned that the only logical conclusion is that it must have been an actual bit of revelation or inspiration.
Well, I would say, I mean, it must have been on the part of the president of the Church of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you're not necessarily buying into that, but yeah.
Correct, right.
Yeah, that must be the explanation, at least from your point of view. Peggy, you asked readers to come up with alternatives, which gave a sense of just how complicated and how difficult this can be. Which is not to say there aren't other ones, I suppose, but can you remember? I've written some of these down. Can you remember what some readers have suggested?
Well, obviously, if there were a better nickname or an adequate nickname, we already would know that.
Yeah.
So, of course, everyone's favorite is Zionologists.
Yeah.
But Saintism, saints, your caller had issues with saints, and frankly, that is going to be a hard sell as a shortened version. I think.
And if you're Catholic or...
Exactly, you know, Orthodox, the name doesn't just mean average believers. It carries a specific sense. I think we will see Latter-day Saints used more than we have in the past and LDS used less. That's what I'm guessing is partly what's going to happen. But I don't see anyone giving up Mormon.
Where have you come down? And maybe you can explain where what you decided. You're going to try to stay away from the LDS term as much as possible. So how much have you altered your own style guide and your own sense of names now?
We haven't done anything formal. Our podcast will still be called Mormon Land because as we talked about this on the podcast this week, Mormonism is a bigger umbrella term than simply members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And we are still very interested in the broad group of faiths and peoples who subscribe to Mormonism. So we'll probably continue to use that.
Can I just point out along that line, in your podcast with Richard Bushman, he made this point. He said that there's this penumbra, you know, all of the people on the, not even inside, on the exterior, who are debating these issues, who are ex-Mormon or are observers of Mormonism. You need a name for that, and Mormonism is the name.
Exactly. And for the bulk of those people, the term Mormon is not pejorative. It is not negative. It may once have been, but it isn't today. So in terms of our own, at the Salt Lake Tribune's own style, we probably will use the full name of the church maybe higher up in the story. We always have used it, but maybe we'll bring it up a little bit. and use Latter-day Saints more than we have, but we will not be giving up, for reasons of clarity, the term Mormon, Mormonism, Mormon as an adjective, Mormon scholars, Mormon history, Mormon studies. That's the best we can do for now.
Yeah. We're going to get to the question of whether journalists should respect organizations that want to, for whatever reasons, change their names. This is where Matthew LaPlante has some interesting, I think, an interesting take. It surprised me a bit, Matthew. We'll get to that in a moment. Lee, let me ask you before we head to a break, though. From your sense, the social media and those kinds of things, how are the faithful responding over the last couple of weeks to this?
Well, so there are some faithful who are, I mean, and good for them. They're always looking for more reasons to be adherent, right? And so, like, anything from their prophet is an exciting time to show that they respect him and they respect their church and they respect their God. You know, I think that this appeals to a certain kind of nitpicky Mormon, the kind of Mormon who'd like to raise their hand in Sunday school and say, excuse me, we shouldn't be using that word anymore. And if you have ever been to a Mormon congregation meeting, you know the kind of person I'm talking about. There's also been kind of a discouragement, and I think some of the callers spoke this a little bit, where there is this hunger for love and inclusivity and understanding. And sometimes I think people worry that, you know, in the last few months, has this been keeping up President Nelson at night, the name of the church? There's quite a few things that he could be losing sleep over, and it seems like this might be why he's pacing the halls and praying late into the night, is because he's worried about the name. And so in that way, I think that it's been a little discouraging. Not that anyone's inherently offended that the church has an opinion about its name, but right now there are a lot of things people would be hungry for revelation on, and this seems like it's not hitting the spot.
Matthew, I wanted to talk about your article, your opinion piece that you wrote. You say in the article that you are choosing to celebrate this moment. Explain what you mean. You're seeing in this statement, as you say, transparency and honesty.
Yeah, I think if you had asked me to predict what the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was going to do if and when it asked for people to stop calling its members and its church Mormon, I would have told you they would have taken a 5 to 10 year process, and they would have done branding surveys, and they would have brought in ad people, and they would have, I mean, brought this down to a meticulous rebranding science. And they didn't. They got a message from their president and prophet, and they turned to. And I think that's it. To me, it's a little bit beautiful. It is clunky and it is confusing, but it's also kind of great because that's not what I've come to expect from this church, and it's not what I've come to expect from any large organization anymore, this sort of earnestness about just saying, here's what we want.
So that's one thing. But then what do you do about it as a journalist? You say in your article, to the very best of our ability, we should always respond with compassion and respect to those who wish to exert ownership over how they are described. Talk a little bit about that, because I want to hear from Peggy and Lee on this question, obviously, too. That is, how far do you go with that? And we let's start with that. Start with that, and we'll break this down.
I think how far you go is this. The Latter-day Saint Church president doesn't speak for all Mormons in the Mormon movement that your other guests have been talking about. So how far you go with that is that you recognize that Mormons are asked to sustain their leaders. They do so in large regard. Their leader asked to stop being called Mormon. And the words Latter-day Saints are like, I don't know, it's like 6 or 7 characters longer than Mormons. It's not that hard. Not to me, at least. And so I don't really see what the resistance is to, on the part of anybody who's like, quote unquote, Gentile, not calling Mormons Mormons. I can completely understand the resistance within the church because I know Latter-day Saints who have no problem. Most of them, I think, have no problem being called Mormons. But their church has asked this. They sustain their church leaders. We can very easily, as journalists and human beings, respond to that request, I think. Now, as for the, you know, like the adjective, the terms of movement, the historical terms, Mormon studies, I don't think the church has made a big deal of that yet, and I don't think we should make a big deal of it yet. I think it can still be Mormon studies.
Okay, so we'll say that again.
You kind of did.
Yeah.
Said really the term Mormon should only be applied to something historic like Mormon Trails. The church is considering changing Mormon Tabernacle Choir, for heaven's sake.
Are they really?
They are. And
I actually went on their website today to see if they had.
Oh, no.
Not yet.
Not yet. But
that will be a big rebranding, maybe.
That's a big one.
It is a big one. And
you're going to wait to drop a new single, probably.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say that the church has asked to not use the term Mormon as an adjective, even in journalism, outsiders, etc.
Well, here's another one of the issue, and I want to hear you on this, Matthew. Okay, so all of the abbreviations that Nelson has suggested seem like these abbreviations could be problematic for journalists in that they require a kind of endorsement of Mormon truth claims, Restored Church of Jesus Christ. I mean, who's to say that it's the one restored church? Church of Jesus Christ. Who's to say it's the one Church of Jesus Christ? I mean, that could be incredibly presumptuous for other faiths. And just the church, that has been a bugaboo for a lot of people in the Intermountain West, and it carries a lot of baggage as a term. So, Matthew, just on a practical term, do you defer to the church statement in regards to those?
I don't defer to the church statement in regards to capitalization. I think on second reference, if you're referring to a specific church, you can say the church, and it doesn't need to be capitalized. That's the church that you're speaking about. I don't really have a problem if the church wants to be called the Restored Church of Jesus Christ. It is long and clunky. I think there are better and easier alternatives, but there's another Mormon movement church called the Church of Christ, and we haven't had too much trouble calling it the Church of Christ. Certainly, it's not the only Christian church. I don't think anybody thinks it is. I just don't see that it's a huge issue to call a church. I mean, a Catholic church, right, is you know, we call it the Catholic Church, but I'm sure there are other churches that would like to make claim to that as well. And if they do and it's not confusing, I've got no problem with that. I'm not endorsing the church, obviously.
No, I know. But you would use that term, the Restored Church of Jesus Christ, on a second reference if you were writing a piece.
I mean, I really like Latter-day Saints on second reference. I think they have so far said that's okay. So I'm a big fan of that. It's shorter, but yeah, on third reference, on an alternative reference, yeah, sure. I don't have a problem with it.
What about you, Peggy?
So confusing. I'm sorry. The Christian church, parens, disciples of Christ, the churches of God in Christ, the United Church of Christ. I'm sorry. As a religion writer, I cannot say the Church of Restored Gospel of Jesus Christ without a paren or some kind of explanation of who it is we're talking about. Even the churches of God in Christ have to say Pentecostal, so you know which Christians we're talking about. I'll give you some counterexamples. I mean, we are journalists interested in clarity. We want to be respectful of what people want to be called, and we do our best to do that. But we're not ultimately writing only to our sources. We are writing to our readers. We are trying to say what groups this is and what do they believe. So let's just say Donald Trump would like us on second reference to call him His Holiness. I'm sorry, His Holiness generally refers to the Dalai Lama. And Tibetans call the Dalai Lama His Holiness. We don't even do that unless it's in a quote. What if Brigham Young University wanted on second reference to be called Young University? That would be unclear, confusing. Is it disrespectful to say, no, we're going to stay with the initials BYU? Just as a practical matter, the church's suggestions don't work for journalists.
And I think when it comes to the word Mormon, there's been this acceptance and this ownership of that label in the recent years that a lot of people have found very freeing, right? Because I think when Mormons talk to non-Mormons, it's clunky to describe what you believe in. I think to say, owning the word Mormon, I mean, missionaries were handing out pass-along cards, these little cards that say, I'm a Mormon, right? And it's you know, I'm a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but also I'm a Mormon. And also, even for members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, their Mormon faith is bigger than that organization. And people have owned their Mormon faith the last few years, I think, in really unique and interesting ways. There's these groups that, like Mormons Building Bridges, which is a, you know, LGBT Mormon group. That term is important for them. That's a strong name. Perhaps the church is trying to get away from other entities that have used that word, whether it's the podcast Mormon Stories or Mormon Leaks. Maybe there's been enough, too many groups that have claimed that term. But I see this as a term that a lot of people have welcomed and accepted and been grateful to use freely. And now this just trips them up in their day-to-day conversations with their neighbors.
So, Matthew, along that line, how much should a news organization go along with an institution that is trying to reframe itself or rebrand itself or create a different impression with the name? How much of a role should we play along with that as journalists, from your opinion?
I think to the greatest extent possible, we have to offer our best, very best efforts. And I take Peggy's point about clarity. Obviously, that's important. And obviously, we're not just writing to Latter-day Saints when we're writing about Latter-day Saints. But I think in any case, and I don't just think that this is important for journalists. I think this is important for us as human beings. And furthermore, I think Latter-day Saints should respect that too. The members of this church have a very longstanding problem with dead naming transgender people. That's, you know, if you're going to ask for this sort of consideration, you should definitely, if you don't want to be called a hypocrite, offer it in kind.
Doug Wilkes of the Deseret News said in an editorial that, for example, when referring to African Americans, that it's best to ask them what they prefer. And some may be fine, for example, with black. Some may find it more important to say African American. We should let them make the call, he said. And Mormons under Russell Nelson have made the call. So is that what you're saying, that let them make the call, let them self-identify, respect that?
Right. And in this case, we have a church that is very tied into this idea of sustaining their leaders. Latter-day Saints are asked to, you know, proclaim their belief in the leaders of the church, and they do that to overwhelming degree. So they've voted essentially for this man. He speaks for them, and he speaks in their theology for God. Now, if we can give them our cooperation, we should give them our cooperation.
Yeah, let me I want to read a couple. Here's this is a great one from Jeff. He says, as a Mormon, I would like to propose a trade. We will willingly accept and use the longer name all of the time if we can go to a shorter meeting block on Sunday. That was clever. This from Lauren, who writes, if someone who doesn't know anything about the church searches on Google the word Mormon, a great number of results in favor of, against, and neutral to the church will appear. Googling the full name will almost certainly return mostly positive results. Is that true, do you think, Peggy? Do you think there's something to this Google search thing comes up from time to time? Is that problematic for the church? Did that plug into all of this as far as
you
can
tell? It did. In 2010, I, after a lengthy attempt to distance itself from the term Mormon, back in 2010, the term Mormon came barreling back, and the reason was search engines. It was Google. No one was actually searching for the full name of the church or even LDS Church. They were searching for Mormon, and that's when the church decided, let's own that term. Let's make it a positive term. Let's be high up in the searches. I think the question of the searches is going to be problematic going forward. I guess you can pay a certain amount of money to get your site, your URL high. I'm sure the church will do that. But will people actually search for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
You know, if somebody's smart right now, if you're a Mormon offshoot church or another church that's part of the Mormon movement, you would lean into the word Mormon right now.
Call yourself the Mormon Church.
Yeah. Right. I mean, like, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has essentially relinquished its claim on the word Mormon. And I think that's a great opportunity for someone who wants to lean into that.
All right, let me ask you quickly. We're essentially out of time. So it was a pretty short statement. You get a sense something bigger is coming. I'm wondering, just briefly, Lee and Peggy, because you're covering this, what's next as far as you can tell?
I wonder what we're going to hear at the next General Conference of the Church. I mean, the idea that, like, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir is a perfect example of, like, there's going to be a lot of potential change to come if the church as an organization is really serious about this. I don't know what that looks like. I think that you're already seeing, if you go to Mormon.org today, you won't see the word Mormon anywhere else besides your URL at the top. It just says welcome.
Yeah.
And there's a phrase that says, this is church. I mean, it's just so generic. And so I think that, that's kind of a shadow of things to come, but I don't know what it's going to look like. I just know that I don't envy the people who are in the church marketing department right now.
What do you think?
I do think I'm hearing changes coming at conference. So maybe that two-hour block is actually happening.
Maybe we'll get that switch, Jeff. Peggy Fletcher-Stack, religion reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune. Thank you very much for joining
Enjoyed
us.
Enjoyed it.
Lee Hale, thanks very much, Lee. And Matthew LaPlante joined us from Utah Public Radio in Logan. He's an associate professor of journalism at Utah State University. Matthew, thanks to you.
Thank you, Doug.
And thanks to those of you who joined us. Radio West is a production of KUER News. The program was directed today by Kate Hatley, produced by Benjamin Bombard and Elaine Clark. I'm Doug Fabrizio.